Welcome to On the Road to No Place Left. This is Feeney, and I'm driving as we learn to share the gospel, make disciples, and reproduce leaders and churches until there is no place left where the name of Jesus hasn't been heard. This is season 4, where we're tackling all questions related to simple churches that can start among lost people for $0. In this episode, Amanda from Tampa shares how Jesus changed her life and how now she and others are pointing people to Jesus through their church and church network. I found these frontline stories really inspiring, so let's jump right in. Well, Amanda, I'd love to hear just your story to start. What can you tell us, like, how you came to know the Lord and anything along that journey that you think would be good for us to know as we hear kind of the full story?
I grew up Hindu with a little splash of Catholic. Then I got married. I grew up in England. My parents are from Guyana, which is in South America, from Indian heritage. Got married in America, and I was going through a divorce. So I had been married 17 years and was going through a divorce. And the divorce really kind of, you know, crushed my heart. So that loss, that just the brokenness in my heart, I started to actually see demonic spirits in my home. And it was just terrifying. It was just really scary. People spirits kind of wanted to reach out to someone, not knowing who to reach out to. So eventually reached out to a neighbor, and she gave me Lee's number, and called up Lee, and Lee prayed over me. And then got me to see a few other people from some of his brothers. So met with them, and they, you know, shared the gospel with me, shared Jesus with me. And I didn't know who Jesus was. I grew up Hindu with a little splash of Catholic, right? So so to me, Jesus wasn't alive, because all I knew about Jesus is, isn't he on the cross? And it was a struggle after that, you know, for many weeks after that. I knew that the word of God was like the armor, the weapon I had against the demonic was the word of God. So I would say the words, but it's almost like I, you know, it wasn't working. It was like I was it was like the demonic spirits were mocking what I was saying. And so one night, I got like a message, you know, it was a message on my heart. You know, I felt like that was from God. And he says, like, whenever you pray to cover you and Sabrina, my daughter, with the blood of Jesus, that's the actual blood of my son that's covering you. So I closed my eyes, and, you know, I'm a visual person. So I closed my eyes and I saw the blood of Jesus, like over me and over my daughter. And then, you know, kind of went from my head to my heart. And I realized, wow, like Jesus, his blood physically covers me when you come to him. That was the big revelation for me. And so then I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out of my home. And the demonic spirits just looked at me, shrugged their shoulders, got small, and kind of just walked out, north, south, east, west, just walked out. Like the battle was, they were defeated in that one instance. And it was like the Lion of Judah that was in me rose up and said, nope, she's with me. Mm. I kept in touch with Lee. Obviously, he was the main person I was in contact with. And he just said, you know, Amanda, you got to share your story with your family. I did. And my family, only my mom came to faith about 5 months after. She was 73. Pretty much that's it.
Wow, what a story. And What a great encouragement of the power of God. That's really cool. Okay, so I guess I want to know what happened next then, as you have a new faith, you've shared with your family, and obviously, now we know that not everyone responds. We're called to share with who God puts in our lives, but he brings the fruit. So what, I guess I would just love to know what happened next for you just in your life, like what changed just about your normal daily life, or what was kind of got up to after that?
My whole life changed. My whole walk changed. I was trying to absorb as much as I could with the word of God. There were index cards all over my bed, like with verses, and was just trying to eat it up as much as I could. You know, in my car, I put post-it notes, you know, with verses everywhere. It's just, I felt like, you know, this was the armor I needed to put on, was the word of God, you know? And I think it was later on, it was a journey of realizing that, you know, his presence, like the presence of Jesus is with me. So I think that, you know, it took a while to grow and learn that, you know, and that changed everything. That changed everything because I knew that Jesus showed up when no one else showed up. Mm. Jesus showed up when I was surrounded. It was him that walked in the room and said, "No, she's with me." Mm. Like no one else did that. He did that.
That's cool. So tell me about right now, what is your life with God look like? And especially I'd love to know just about your church and other believers in your life.
So right now we are kind of involved. I mean, what's really cool about the church is that it's people from all walks of life. So, you know, you've got, and they are like people from the Bible, you know, so you've got like the demon possessed woman that was me. And then you've got like the, you know, the drug addicted person who was drug addicted, that was Lee. And you've got the drunk, you've got the, you know, the orphan, the betrayed, the divorced, the widow. So you've got all the people that are in the church, all different walks of life, which is mm-hmm. really, really cool. So I know Lee went to Meta Camp and met Curtis Sargent back in early 2013. And so I know from there, he kind of like came back and started like many groups, many little groups, you know, and it all kind of, a lot of it fizzled out, some stayed, but we kind of learned along the way that smaller groups are better, pouring into the few more deeply matters more. And then just pouring into the few that are obeying God, making disciples. So just to make yourself like smaller, get yourself out of God's way, those type mm-hmm. of things. So now we have different groups in homes.
Well, do you have any specific stories that come to mind just that would either illustrate maybe one of those groups or some of the discipleship that's happening? I'd just love to know if any stories come to mind that relate to that.
I mean, I particularly see God moving. I think initially I saw God moving in not only myself, but in my daughter. So even right after we were saved, my daughter started a youth group with her neighbors. Mm. Her neighbor has like five kids. So she started a group just with five kids, just reading the Bible and asking simple questions. You know, what do you like about it? So the really simple questions that a child could do it. And then after that, it's a Saturday night and it's about 6 o'clock. And Sabrina says, hey, mom, let's, she just baptized one of the kids in the group, right? And that was the first, and we were all excited and we took video of it. And she says, let's go show grandma, which is my mom, the video of the baptism. And so we go over to my mom's house, and my mom has come to faith, but she's not been baptized, not taken the next step. So Saturday night, 6 o'clock, you know, my daughter goes in and my daughter's sharing with her grandma about dying with Christ and rising up with Christ and being the bride of Christ, all of those beautiful things. And my mom says, it can't be this easy, you know, to be baptized. And my daughter says, yeah, grandma, it's that easy. It's the next step. So grandma gets up on her walker and she says, can you baptize me right now? Mm. And, you know, that was just the most amazing, amazing moment for me and my daughter to know that, you know, we could baptize my mother. Mm-hmm. So it's very personal. Of course, you know, Jesus is, he's so beautiful. He touches, one touch from Jesus just changes generations. Mm-hmm. So just noticing what he's done in our life and then realizing the sweet part of this whole thing is noticing that Jesus is with you as you go. So even you don't even know what you're doing, but you're encouraged. I'm encouraged to share my story. But I don't have like 10 steps to do something. Mm-hmm. You know? But then you realize, wow, you can talk to Jesus and his presence is with you. So mm-hmm. I think that's been the most exciting thing to realize the aliveness of him, even sharing testimonies with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, when he's glorified and he's brought up in any conversation, you know, he walks in the room.
That's great. So who would be currently like in your church? Is it your mom and your daughter and some of these other kids? What does that look like?
My mom passed away.
Okay.
So she's not with us. So in my church, in my home, it's me and my daughter and a sister who is in the community who I've known for a while. So that's who's in my home church on Mondays. And then on Tuesdays, I do like a Zoom home church for those who can't meet in person. And so those, I have like about three other neighbors that join me on Zoom and we do the same thing.
What do you do? What is it like both online and in person, on Zoom and in person? What do you guys actually do when you gather for church?
We look back at the week and it's kind of like a three-thirds type thing. So we look back and we look up and then we look forward. So the looking back part is really, you know, how was your week? How are you? What's going on? And so with a small, intimate group, you can ask those types of questions. And then you can get to like pray for each other. So whatever is heavy, a heavy burden on someone's heart, they get to share it with others who deeply care about them. Mm-hmm. It's not a mass number of people. It's a very small, little intimate group that meets every week and you really grow to love and care about one another. Then we will ask about how it went last week, sharing the story from last week. Who did you share it with? How did that go? So there's a great deal of encouragement to keep going, keep forward. And then the next third is to look up and read the word. Mm-hmm. And so we read the word together, read a story, read a few verses, and then ask each other like real easy questions, because it's beautiful to hear the Jesus in others, to hear when he speaks in them, you know? That's been a delight. And then the next third is to really go forward and how are you going to share this story? Who will you share it with?
That's good. That's good. So as you are leading these and helping people follow Jesus in that setting, do you have anybody like investing in you? And what does that look like? How are you, like, as somebody that's leading that, getting further training and growing so you can do that?
I would say that, you know, Lee is a mentor for me. And then, you know, I think we have a group that meets every Tuesday, kind of like a team group. And that's been very rewarding and, mm-hmm. you know, a place to grow as well. So that helps keep us all accountable type thing. So
that's great. So for you, was there any, especially with your background, I'd be curious, was there any like challenge in your mind to see like church at home, or was it just pretty natural?
No, I think because I don't really come from an environment of going to a church. So growing up Hindu, I mean, we had temples and we had a shrine in our home, you know. So I think this was a different way of walking. It's a totally different way of walking and realizing how it affects your whole family and seeing Jesus, like, you know, touch my daughter. Mm-hmm. Seeing, you know, because she came to faith and he took away all her nightmares. It was one touch from Jesus took that away. So seeing Jesus in my home with me and my daughter, you know, I think that was an easy way to transition to continuing, you know, being in our home and looking at Jesus together.
Share a few stories. Okay. I'd love to hear those.
All right. What I mean by Jesus being with us is it's almost like I'll tell you, for instance, one story. It's somebody had said that this girl needed prayer. She was under a lot of demonic attack and I think it was like on the weekend or something. And so I was able to find a way to contact this girl, this teenager. She's 19. She lives like 2.5 hours away. But somehow, I don't know what it is. Well, it's the Holy Spirit for sure. But it's almost like God is like showing you he's about to do something amazing in someone's life. And you taste it and you know it. It's going to happen. And so you kind of follow that spirit, that Holy Spirit, you know, that's in you. So we hear about this person, 19 years old. She lives 2.5 hours away and she can't talk. She's lost her ability to speak. And so when she speaks right now, it's almost like she's croaking. She's just words are like croaking out. So Sabrina and I, we just know it in our spirit that we have to go and see this girl. So we drive 2.5 hours north. And for 5 months, she hasn't been speaking. So we, you know, go to see her. And then when we see her, you know, pull up on the front driveway and, you know, pick her up. And she's crying. She's sobbing in the car. And so we find a place to go talk to her. Never met her before. We go to a ballpark and we're sitting there with her. And she starts to speak. And, you know, she's croaking the words out, croaking out like can't even explain it. It's almost like she's being strangled. You know, it's like that. That's what it sounds like. And she says, so we ask her about Jesus. Now, she's already accepted Jesus before. And somehow she's being deeply oppressed. And so we pray for her and we got some oil. We anointed her throat. You know, and during the praying, while we're praying for her, Jesus gives her full voice back right in front of me and Sabrina. My daughter got to witness this. We got to witness this. Her full measure of her voice comes back. You know, she said afterwards, because she felt this throat in her throat. It was bubbling up. And, we kept on praying. And that's when her full voice came back. And she said, you know, while you were praying for me, I heard him. And I said, what did you hear? And she says, she heard him say, I love you. And you are beautiful. It just tells you the tenderness and gentleness of Jesus, like how he meets her greatest need. And you just see the Father, you see the Father's heart right away. And so that was, it's just like, you know, it happens as you go and obey, right? But on the way, so many things happen on the way. It's almost like there's a shift, an atmosphere shift, you know, and it's all of heaven is going with you. I think that's the most exciting thing is to know that my daughter is with me on this journey and we're going together. And just like the story of, Emmaus, like the walk to Emmaus, right? When the disciples are going there, it's a different story. But when they're coming back, man, it's so exciting. They can't wait to share it with their disciples, right? So it's like that. That's how it feels. Me and Sabrina, on the way back from that, we sang all the way home. Like we sang 2.5 hours of just singing because it was so joyful. We were rejoicing that Jesus, you know, what Jesus did. So we glorify him, we lift him high, but it's especially wonderful when you can go back and you can share it with others in a room and share what Jesus just did. And in that story of Emmaus, Jesus actually comes into that room while you're sharing the testimony. So that excitement, that's what I love.
That's awesome. Wow, what a great story.
I see generations of discipleship happening too.
Yeah.
So not only in my family, you know, with my daughter and me, but also, you know, in the community that we minister to in Tampa, which is my community, there was a Buddhist grandparent that moved in called Weena, and she's actually from Venezuela. She's also Thai, Chinese background. Speaks 5 languages, but she was a refugee from Venezuela, comes in, grandparents, her and her husband, Jorge, and they come in and they have nothing in their apartment. And so, you know, we kind of met them on the off chance and started to do house church, home church in their home we're praying for the grandkids to come. She accepts Jesus, Lena, and I get to baptize her on the field. And right before that, she meets Octavia, who is Puerto Rican. They speak the same, you know, language, Spanish language. And so Octavia wants to be baptized too. So we're baptizing Lena and Octavia on the field. And then Octavia, who walks her little dog around the neighborhood called Lucky, a little chihuahua, he, you know, she meets Omar, and then Omar gets baptized, you know, in the ocean. So I think that's just the most wonderful thing, to see this thread of this golden thread that Jesus, you know, weaves all through our stories.
As you mentioned, a couple different gatherings and groups or churches, we'd say. How do they stay connected? Is it just through that Tuesday kind of meeting with leaders, or are there other ways that those churches stay connected?
Well, there's other ways. We train others to kind of do what we do, because more and more, we've had more and more people want to come and see what's happening in Tampa. How are these home churches being started, and what does it look like in, you know, how is this transforming families and communities? So now every 6 weeks we do kind of like a mini training. We're all part of that mini training that happens in, you know, that group that meets on Tuesdays. So, and then we meet, you know, a gathering of the home churches meets like every quarter. We're all very connected, I think.
Has anything been really difficult on this journey? Just be curious, like as you're following the Lord and you've told these stories, like what's been just a hard part as you've gone through this?
So just that, you know, some will stay and some will leave. So I think there has to be, you can't hold on too tightly to people. I mean, you can't pen people up, and, you know, there has to be freedom for them to wander about and to choose to come back, to return. So I think, you know, just seeing brothers and sisters come and go, and, you know, but it's all in God's timing. His ways are so much higher. Yeah. Then, you know, also knowing that, you know, there are times that you feel like there's nothing going on. You almost feel like, wow, you know, like I'm not doing enough, or, you know, this time is really empty. Like, I don't see anything growing. So there's not this adrenaline that's always there, and this fast approach to discipleship. Like, there are many times of just, you know, you keep doing what you're doing, you know, but you may not see the fruit right away. And so I think the hardest thing is to learn to just let all the seeds grow. So, you know, just leave it, plant it, leave it, and it will happen, because God's word doesn't return void. So it's not you making it grow. So I think just getting myself out the way and just, you know, just letting God do his thing. But then, you know, catching those waves of moments where, you know, he lets you take a ride with him, and just like the girl who got her voice back, or, you know, touching my mom, you know, so that she comes to Jesus. It's just those moments. So So just realizing it's not all amazing stories all the time.
No, that's good. There's a faithfulness and a perseverance that needs to happen, because we're called to the tasks, and we have to just wait and trust in God on some of those, on when he's going to act in big ways like that.
Yeah. And then also realizing that we all make mistakes, and, you know, Jesus gives us grace and forgiveness and mercy. And then also knowing that you can share Jesus, but that doesn't mean that people are going to accept Jesus. So in my own family, it was only my mom who came to faith. So it gives me encouragement to, it's just like the person with the bag of seeds, spreading the seeds, and maybe just a few plants grow. But knowing that those are the few that God, you know, those are the few.
So what else are you learning? Is there anything else that you feel like God's teaching you just currently?
Yeah, I'm learning that faith is kind of integrated in my life. when Jesus. So whether I'm, you know, ministering in a particular home or a particular spot, nothing really. So what I'm explaining is it's not a job to me. If it's not happening in my home, then everything I'm doing outside my home is like an activity or a project. Or, you know, if I start from my home, which is what's happening with, you know, with me personally, loving God and loving my neighbors, it makes me realize that, you know, we're not taken out of the world. We're in the world. So we're not off the world. So being in the world means that I'm here in this spot on purpose. And so I witness not only to people who are in my home, but also to my neighbors. I think that's what it shows me. It's an integral part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So being with Jesus, talking with Jesus, communicating with Jesus is something I don't stop and start on a particular day or a particular hour. I'm talking with Jesus most of the day in my mind or in a car or whatever I'm doing. So there's a communication between the creator and the one he created. So there's this union that goes on. So I trust Jesus more than I trust man.
Is there any other particular story or question as you thought about our conversation today that you really wanted to share?
Yeah, I think going to Metacamp myself, going and meeting Curtis Sargent myself, and hearing how his father was saved. Do you know that story?
I haven't heard that story.
So Lee had come back from, you know, training at Metacamp, and so, you know, started all these groups, right? And a lot of them fizzled out, some stayed and stuff. And so then I went to Metacamp. Lee invited me to go. So I went there, and hearing Curtis's father's story, Curtis shares a story about how his father came to faith, how this, you know, it was a rural community, a farming community, and this man on a bike would come right over to his father's farm and, you know, and want to share the gospel. So 52 times this person rode his bike only to get told no, you know? So eventually that person, his father, does come to Christ. And I think that really touched me because, wow, look at that. It gave me a lot of hope because that changed Curtis's whole life, because it changed the father's life, and therefore it touched generations. So when Curtis was born, it changed his life and his children's life and their children's life. So that one touch from Jesus. And so I liken that to my own family with myself, my mother, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Jesus, one touch, has completely changed the whole line of the generations in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just incredible. So alive is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So alive is the seed of God that one touch can totally change a generation, and then some, and then some. Keep going. So it matters to me to do life with my daughter, you know, learning as much as we can about Jesus and passing it on and sharing.
I hadn't heard that story, and thinking of the many people that Curtis has trained that I would know about. The other thing I would say is it takes one touch, but we also, as you've already said, we need to be faithful to the task. This guy on a bike, right? Like, I would have been tempted to give up after probably once, maybe on a good day, three times, or a good, you know what I mean? But, oh, that's, and look at the impact that's been had on the kingdom because of his faithfulness. So that's a great story.
And even there's one other story where this, we were having a community festival on the field, and there was one lady there, and called Sheena, and she was standing under a tree, and she looked really sad. And so one of us had gone over, Cheryl had gone over to her and talked to her. Later on that night, we got the notion that we all should, you know, maybe two or three of us go and knock on the door of this lady. And so we saw where she lives, and so God had really put on my sister's heart to go and knock on this lady's door. And so she had called me and said, Amanda, can you come too? And I said, okay. So I'm driving on the way to the place. And on the way, I hear God say, don't eat. Because normally I would have stopped at my house and eaten. So I stopped at my house and I wanted to obey God. So I told my daughter, I can't eat. I'm on the way to, you know, meet this lady. And so my daughter packs me a peanut butter sandwich and she puts it in a little see-through baggie and with a love heart on it. She's sweet like that. And so she gave it to me and I'm driving off with this sandwich, you know, annoyed that I can't eat this sandwich. You know? And I get in to Tampa and we meet with the other two brothers and sisters and we knock on the door for 5 minutes. We're knocking on the door. This lady doesn't answer the door. You know, 5 minutes is a long time waiting at someone's front door, you know. So eventually she does open the door and she is in a bathrobe and she's just crying, sobbing, just really heartbroken. And the heartache you heard from her voice was just, it's just so sad to hear and see. Mm-hmm. And so she was telling us that she's really mad at God. Mm-hmm. And we asked her why. And she goes, God has taken away the three people that she deeply loves the most. To her mother and now her best friend and now someone else. And she's just heartbroken. She cannot believe God has taken away the ones that she loves. And so we pray with her and we, you know, reminding her about Jesus. She seems to know, have a background of growing up in the Lord. Anger was just in front of her, you know? And so, and at the end, I gave her my phone numbers. We switched numbers. And I remembered this, you know, God brought to me the memory of the sandwich. And so all through the conversation, this lady had said, she's punishing herself. She stopped eating for 7 days, 7 days of not eating because of what God has done. And she's angry. And the only way she can get back at God was to starve herself. And so on the way out, I give her the sandwich and I said, hey, let me just leave this sandwich with you. My daughter made it, you know, my daughter, Sabrina made it. And so I left it with her. Do you know, I'm driving home and this lady calls me and she says, thank you. And thank your baby too, which is now my baby. Your baby's now my baby. She's like, I ate the sandwich. And she was so touched that my daughter made a sandwich. There was something about somebody actually making a sandwich and putting love on the sandwich and giving it to someone. That really touched this lady's heart. Mm. Like the act of love, like the act of whatever it was, but that touched this lady's heart. We began going over there like every so often to see this lady with some kind of food, not fast food, but like, you know, some food that someone has made.
Yeah.
It made a difference that there was somebody's hands made this. She already knows the Lord, but it's just a reminder of how God is in your life. And she was trying to end her life and God completely halted that whole process. She was going down a different road. After we met with her, there was a hope.
That's great. And I love that it was related to your obedience. Sometimes I have those, and you're like, oh, I just want to eat something in that case. So that's, man, praise God for that. What's next for you or your family or your church? Just as you think about what you want to see God do there in Tampa, what would you say is next? Or what are you praying is next?
So I think we just keep doing what we're doing, you know, mm-hmm. and we just, you know, get better at it. And then also seeing that we have heaven on our side. Mm. So knowing that you have the God of the universe who created every grain of sand, he wants you to go and share, you know, Jesus. And so these are like living testimonies. Mm-hmm. And it's such an adventure. It's total adventure. Submitting to God and then glorifying him. It's like you know your purpose. Like no man told me the purpose. It was God who showed me the purpose to do this. Even though I remember in my own testimony calling Lee like 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, after getting saved and asking him like, you know, I'm fearful. I don't know what I'm doing. And I feel like they're back and all of those things during that first week. And, you know, hearing Lee, like he would just pray, like automatically just start praying over the situation. Mm-hmm. So I think to know to be like a child and know that it's such a greater blessing to like share Jesus with others, knowing that life and death are at stake. So that the battle for our soul is real, but all of heaven is with us. And, you know, just like Psalm 91, where it says 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but none shall touch you. But for us to remember that we are actually covered with the blood of Jesus himself. And Jesus is the one promising us, saying, and lo, I will be with you always till the end of time. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's an eternal promise. So knowing every day of your life, when you're coming to him, he will not leave you. He, even if you're suffering, he will suffer right beside you. He won't leave you.
If you have any comments or questions, or want to see a couple show notes, head to ontheroad.link. That's ontheroad.link. Or you can also call or text 321-209-3899. This is Feeney. Thanks for listening. The On the Road podcast is to encourage you to share the gospel, make disciples, and reproduce leaders and churches until there is no place left where the name of Jesus hasn't been heard.